T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Right now, we're pleased to welcome former Marlins president David Sampson, who is now all over CBS Sports HQ, longtime baseball analyst. And I'm not going to ask how much sleep you got, if you got any at all, but I do appreciate you making time for us, especially when it's a very quick turnaround. So, David, what is your reaction to the Braves losing Charlie Morton to a broken leg?
So first, when we say broken leg, if you didn't see the game, you're thinking about like a snow skiing accident or somehow like a cast from your hip down to your toes. It's not that kind of broken leg. It's when you take an x-ray of a player and it shows some sort of fracture, like a line on an x-ray. Mm-hmm. And I'm not practicing medicine. I'm just trying to make the visual of how it's possible that he could get 3 outs on a broken leg. He wasn't walking around limping when he was on the mound getting right. Those 3 outs. He was able to execute his pitches, but the pain just became intolerable for him. So on the Altuve strikeout, who was his last batter, he landed and it just hurt and they took him out of the game and then x-rayed it. And the issue for the Braves is that how do they get 81 outs without him? And the answer is they'll cobble it together, because with the offense the way it is for Atlanta and frankly the pitching the way it is for Houston, I think Atlanta really does have the advantage, especially with Max Fried on the mound tonight.
When it comes to this type of a situation where we're talking about 3 wins away, all hands on deck, how do you feel about starting a guy on short rest, especially if it's not something he normally does? Potentially, it could be Max Fried if they need him to turn around and go on short rest in a game 5.
So I think it depends where you are in the series. But, of course, I won a World Series with the Marlins pitching Josh Beckett on 3 days rest. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't necessarily in favor of it, but our manager, Jack McKeon, wanted to do it. And he told me to worry about Game 7 later. He doesn't want a Game 7. He wants to win it in 6, so he went with Beckett on short rest. If you're winning 3-1, I don't think Max Fried pitches a Game 5 because you're winning 3-1. If you're tied at 2, would he do a bullpen game? Maybe. That's what the big discussion is going on right now. The minute Morton was hurt, the front office is meeting to figure out how to replace him on the roster and then to really figure out the pitching rotation, and it will depend on how the series is going. I think the critical part of the series is tonight's game. Much like I said on CBS Sports, last night was a must-win for the Astros, and they didn't get it, and now they face losing 2 at home, and that will be insurmountable.
Why was it a must-win in the opener?
Because, interestingly enough, the Braves made an aggressive decision to hold Max Fried, who could have pitched on regular rest yesterday, who is their number one starter, but they held him for Game 2. And when you do that, you are hoping that you're going to get a bad Framber Valdez. You're hoping your offense pitches well and that Morton keeps you in the game and pitches fine, all of which happened. And you got that victory, and now the pressure is so significantly on the Houston Astros that they can taste it.
Any credence to the idea that it's because Morton has so much experience in the World Series that he's, I don't want to say a safer play, but a guy that wasn't going to be flummoxed by pitching in Houston, first of all, but also being there on the mound to start this series?
I think that's a great way to not hurt Max Fried's feelings publicly, but that's not really how it goes. I think in that clubhouse, everyone's aware that Fried is their number one starter there. Sure, Morton's been there. It's his 3rd World Series in a row. He's faced the Astros. All that's fine and good, but if you look at Morton, and believe me, I'm not poo-pooing Morton as a pitcher, but Fried is clearly the best pitcher in the game since the All-Star break. Now, of course, he had a tough last game against the Dodgers, but even that was not such a terrible appearance. So having him on the mound is so critical, and waiting for Game 2, it just was such a stroke of genius by the Atlanta Braves.
Would you also classify moving Jorge Soler to the leadoff spot as a stroke of genius?
Well, everything looks good when it works, right?
Yeah.
The minute he hits the leadoff home run, that becomes genius. I was worried when the lineup came out about moving Rosario out of that into the five hole and having him coming off the LCS MVP, putting too much pressure on him to be a run producer from that five hole spot. But he responded really well, got two hits again yesterday, made that great defensive throw to get out Gurriel, who is running for a reason I don't know, in the eighth inning. So everything Snitker's doing is working. Everything the front office in Atlanta is doing, you know, they're getting this credit for bringing in Soler and Duvall and Peterson. It's not exactly Mantle, Ruth, and Gehrig that were brought in by the Braves, right? But these are guys that any of the other 29 teams could have traded for.
Right.
And it just worked. And when you have a season like that, that's why I picked the Braves to win the World Series before the series started, and frankly, before the season started, but with a totally different team, Amy. That's when they had Acuna, and I thought Soroka would be pitching, and Ozuna.
Of course.
But when you feel that, you feel as though everything you do is going to work, and then when it really works during the game, that's when you win a World Series.
David Sampson, a longtime Marlins president, World Series winner himself, is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Not only does he have that resume, but he's also got time on CBS Sports HQ, which what seems like every night now because this is baseball's biggest month. David, if you don't mind, what does Dusty Baker mean to baseball with his 40 years of managing?
I don't think anything more or less than any other manager. I think that when you have someone in the World Series, of course, they're going to get attention. I actually may speak about that on Nothing Personal, which is my show, which I'm going to record here in a couple of hours.
Ooh,
which we release.
Are you
going to
get a nap? You going to get a nap before that or no?
I'm going to try. I've not been to sleep yet. So I think getting an hour or so will be good because I'm going to be doing pre and post game on CBS Sports again tonight.
But welcome to my world, David. Welcome to my world.
Amy, I have such unbelievable empathy for your schedule of what you do. I'm not
a big sleeper,
but this is even a little much for me. But for Dusty, I think that, you know, it's a great storyline. His involvement with Hank Aaron, the fact that he's not won a World Series, his age, the fact that he's been a calming influence on the Astros, the public face of the scandal, the one who has been more articulate about the scandal than anyone else with the Astros. So it's just been a perfect fit. But at the same time, MLB is good and creates stories for anyone who's in the World Series. So any manager, there would have been great stories about. But the fact that it's the Braves and the Astros, Dusty Baker is related to both clubs, It just works well right now.
Well, and I think you could look for sentimental favorites in both places, but I was thinking about how Dusty Baker is almost like the Andy Reid of Major League Baseball, in that if the Astros end up winning, people may not be cheering so much for Houston, but for Dusty Baker, after 40 years of managing, to have a ring would be pretty special. But you talk about the Braves, Freddie Freeman. I mean, he's another sentimental favorite, having been there for 12 years and just now playing in his first fall classic. I have asked people this on my show, and it's not meant to be disrespectful, but it's just a fact of life in October baseball that the games are really long, David. So last night's final out was recorded about 11 o'clock Houston time, midnight Atlanta time and East Coast time, and it was a nearly 4-hour affair. I know that Rob Manfred's been all about pace of play, but in October, it's a different animal. Is that having a negative impact, do you think, on the game, the fact that you have to invest 4 hours?
Yeah, the game time was actually 4 hours and 6 minutes. It ended after midnight here in Connecticut, where I am. And I was on the competition committee for years in Major League Baseball when I was president of the Marlins. And I worked on pace of play and pace of action and trying to shorten game times. And believe me, it's critical to those of us who are in the sport. It's critical to the national broadcasters, because no one wants to sit around and watch a 4-hour and 6-minute sporting event that's gone 9 innings. People want to allocate 2.5 to 3 hours, and that's the event. Now, people, old school purists, will say, no, people love it. It's the playoffs. No one cares. If it's your team and you win, you don't care.
Right.
If it's your team and you lose, you're grumpy. If it's not your team at all, you've just become disinterested. And that is what we're trying to guard against. And so some of the things that are being discussed with the union, like pitch clocks and other things that can shorten the game, are critical, because it does matter. And when your customers start telling you that there's a problem with your product and you ignore them, that's sort of the end of your product. So it's critical to listen to your customers and improve your product when you can.
Are there any easy fixes? If they don't correct the entire problem, are there any ways that the competition committee came up with or that you think might actually work personally?
We have to enforce the rules. And right now, baseball does not enforce the rules. Batters are not supposed to be able to step out of the batter's box. Pitchers are supposed to engage the rubber in a quick amount of time in between pitches. What happened last night, I don't know, a little thing that you may have noticed. Dusty Baker walked so slowly out to the mound to talk to his pitcher. He stopped at the baseline to fix his uniform pants as though we care what they look like.
I know.
He then walks to the mound, slowly gets there, speaks for 2 minutes, then motions to the bullpen. That kind of thing has got to be disallowed, and we've tried, and it has to be enforced. Pitching changes need to be made immediately. The manager needs to make the motion, in my opinion, immediately upon leaving the dugout. Dusty Baker was delaying the game because his pitcher wasn't ready and wanted to get his pitcher a few more throws in the bullpen. I get it. I used to run a team. I know exactly all the tricks.
The tricks.
But we have to find a way around it because for fans, it's very, very difficult to deal with.
David Sampson, former Marlins president, with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. One more thing, David, before I let you go. Not that you don't have a very long hump day in front of you, but we're hearing the reports now that there is almost sure to be a work stoppage come December 1st. I know they don't play games in December, and we're talking about a deadline that's in the future. But what do fans need to know about a work stoppage that might occur this winter?
I think it's critical to remember that when you're reading all of the back and forth, that you are reading leaks that are sent by baseball or by the union in order to try to sway your opinion and make you like their side of the argument. So I would ignore all of the reports, and I would focus on one thing. Major League Baseball owners and the players are aligned in one way. They don't want to lose money.
Ka-ching!
And the way you lose money is by not playing games.
Mm-hmm.
Players only start getting paid in April. Owners start making money in April when fans are in the stands. So don't panic if there's a work stoppage on December 1st, because that's okay. That's just the off season. I would start to panic only next summer if there's still no baseball, because we also learned during the pandemic that they can play a shortened season. There could be a world champion like the Dodgers were in 20, and that's a legitimate world champion. So I just would encourage all the fans not to get too up or down like a roller coaster with all the reports that are going to start coming out about labor, and just they'll do their job and they'll come to an agreement.
Okay. But next summer, though, you know fans will have jumped off the deep end by then.
I'm trying to manage expectations. I don't think it will come to that.
Okay, good.
I'm trying to avoid anyone jumping off any deep end, because that is what we are trying to do. We are trying to get you, the fan, to blame the other side for your jumping on in the deep end.
Oh, and it worked so well in 2020, didn't it? When it was these ridiculous proposals that they kept leaking, 9 of them, and then until we find out that baseball never was planning to do more than a 60-game season, it was so disingenuous. So, yeah, I guess we shouldn't be caught up in the smoke and mirrors and the sleight of hand that we're going to get from both sides.
I'll come back on your show whenever you want, and
okay.
I'll be here to calm everyone down. There's no yelling involved. Just be explaining exactly what's happening, because there is a lot of PR back and forth that
yes.
goes on, because I've been a part of a lot of these agreements, and that's a big component of it, because at the end of the day, both the players and owners just want you to love us, and we're going to do anything we can for that to happen.
All right. Well, then we will count on that. First of all, you want to find him on Twitter at David P. Sampson, former Marlins president, World Series winner. Now he's with CBS Sports HQ and, of course, has the Nothing Personal podcast, which they will drop another episode of today. So a lot there, a lot of great insight, always good content. David, you are the best. I hope that you didn't stay up all night just for us. But if you did, thank you so much.
I did, and it's my pleasure. I always love being on with you.
We love to have you. We'll talk again soon. Thanks, David.
Bye, Amy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.